Hello, this is Reverend Lindsay again, and I thank you for joining me for part two of our Stay at Home Worship podcast on this holiday weekend or whenever you're listening in for my meditation on the scriptures for July 5th, 2020, entitled, Who Will Rescue Me? It's based mostly upon our reading from Romans 7, 13 through 25. So I admit, I even confess, I love Paul. Yeah. The Apostle Paul. A lot of people hate him, but that's a whole nother sermon. Meanwhile, I love Paul. That cranky, sickly, bossy, Christ-besotted old Jewish guy. I love him for a lot of reasons. I love his theology. I'm not sure Christians would have theology without Paul. I love him for the sheer beauty of his writing. Now listen to this one sentence. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Wow. And I love Paul for his bossiness. Because sometimes I need someone to say, therefore you have no excuse, whoever you are, when you judge others. Okay then. I love him for his crankiness. You foolish Galatians, he writes, who has bewitched you? Or in 1 Corinthians, writing about the Lord's Supper, what? Do you not have homes to eat and drink in? Or do you show contempt for the church of God and humiliate those who have nothing? What should I say to you? Should I commend you? In this matter, I do not commend you. Ooh, I can relate to the crankiness of ministry. But above all, I heart Paul. Because he so honestly lets us see his own struggles with living out life in Christ. And they so often mirror my own struggles. I do not understand my own actions, Paul says. For I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. And I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I do. Every time I read that, it resonates. Every time it hits close to home. You know, someone has said that this passage reminds them of an AA meeting. Hi, my name is Paul, and I'm a sinner. Oh, I know we don't much like to talk about sin these days. You know, once, long ago now, I applied for a pastor position, and in a phone interview, because this was BZ before Zoom, the church's nominating committee asked me what part of a worship service I felt was absolutely essential, what part of the liturgy. And I answered the prayer of confession, because I think it's so important that we understand and acknowledge before God and one another that we are not perfect, that we struggle, that sin sometimes overwhelms us, try as we might. And we really need God to help us. They said, oh, that's interesting. And at the end of our conversation, I asked if they could email me some sample representative orders of worship for their church. And of course, when they arrived, I saw that not one of those services included a prayer of confession. Needless to say, that was not the church that God was leading me to. And I think y'all know that I'm not some dour old Calvinist or some evangelical fire and brimstone kind of gal. But if you feel you don't know me, hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm a sinner. Sin is real. Sin is real in my life. I can will what is right, but I cannot do it, for I do not do the good I want. But the evil I do not want is what I do. Debbie Thomas said, many Christians, particularly those who have left various forms of fundamentalism, actively mistrust the S word, We associate it with guilt, shame, punishment, and hellfire. We find it too harsh, too debilitating, too unsophisticated, and too puritanical for the complexities of our 21st century lives. Or else, we dislike the concept of sin because it offends our sense of autonomy and personal responsibility. We'd much rather believe that living good, decent lives is a matter of hard work and sheer willpower than confess, as Paul does, that sin is an aggressive, demonic power that enslaves us even when we're convinced of our own decency and piety. We'd much rather say that we individually make mistakes or choose poorly or take wrong turns once in a while than admit that sin, as Scripture describes it, is systemic and structural, a cosmic power so insidiously at work within us that it twists and deforms us both as individuals and societies. The resurgence of the Black Lives Matter movement and our own church conversations lately have made me think a lot about systemic sin, particularly about the systemic sin of racism. Robin DiAngelo, in her book White Fragility, urges us to stop thinking of racism as racial prejudice and individual actions. Instead, to understand it as a system of racial inequality that benefits white people at the expense of people of color. Let me say that again. Racism is a system of racial inequality that benefits white people at the expense of people of color. And if that's true, and I think it is, then as a white person, I am part of a system I didn't create and don't approve of, but which I benefit from nonetheless. Hi, my name is Lindsay, and I'm a sinner. And I can't begin to separate myself from that system, can't even try to disrupt or help dismantle racism without educating myself, yes, but also without being willing to admit, to confess how bound up in it, how dependent upon it in so many ways that I am. That it is bigger than I am, this unjust system. And it is not the only unjust system in our world. If racism is the original sin of the United States, which I think it is, I believe that misogyny is the original sin of the globe. Just ask Eve. I believe that climate change is real and that we must do everything we can to save our planet. But during the height of the pandemic here, I used plastic bags and disposable gloves and paper towels like they were going out of style. And even though I'm back to carrying my reusable bag with me when I go out, what about the businesses, the companies I patronize, the products I use? Hi, I'm Lindsay, and I'm a sinner. Who will rescue me from this body of death? Thing about being a Christian is that it gives us the language and the freedom to admit that we are sinners. To admit that try as we might, we still sin. We lose our tempers. We hold grudges. We get all judgy. We uphold systems that are racist and classist and misogynist and harmful to the environment, even though we want no part of them. Paul writes for us, for those who know we are sinners, even if we don't like that word, who know we aren't perfect, who strive to be good, and still find it really, really hard. And of course, there are those who argue that human beings are hardwired for selfishness, and so Christianity is unrealistic and therefore stupid or malevolent. Some say the message of Christianity is you're not good enough. Sadly, I understand why people think that way, but I think the message is you were created in the beautiful image of a beautiful God. Don't be afraid to be as beautiful as you were created to be. I know that's hard, though. As G.K. Chesterton put it, it's not that Christianity has been tried and found wanting. It has been found difficult and therefore not tried. Well, we've tried and failed, and yet we keep trying. It nearly drove Paul to despair, this inability to do the good he wanted. What did Jesus say at Gethsemane when his disciples kept falling asleep? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. Neither Jesus nor Paul was talking about our bodily urges per se, but about our all too human and often conflicting impulses and desires, physical, psychological, emotional, spiritual. Which brings me finally to the other thing about being a Christian, the main thing. We have Christ, who will rescue us from this body of death, who will free us from the power of sin. Come, says Christ Jesus. Come to me, all of you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. The requirement isn't perfection. It's recognizing that we have a burden and deciding that we want to set it down. Hi, Lord. My name is Lindsay, and I'm a sinner. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, Jesus says. For I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Because we do not bear it alone. We do not bear it alone. In Christ, we do not bear it alone. Thanks be to God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.